This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey everybody, this is Gary V. Nurchuk, and this is episode 223 of the Ask Gary V Show. No. Don't laugh about me screwing up episode, D-Rock, I saw that. Eric, I'm really glad we did this, man.
Likewise.
For a long time, people kept, like, I would get these random emails back in the day saying, like, hey, you're like the small white version of Eric. I'm like, who the fuck is Eric? It was always really funny to me. And then obviously, in the last couple months, we connected on digital. Absolutely. And I'm glad we made this happen.
Yeah, and I'm glad to be. I've always wanted to see the Gary V live. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to, the guys would know I would do that. Like, I would do it on my own. Like, one of these days, I'm going to see it live. So I got that off my bucket list.
I appreciate it. Now, why don't you tell the few people that don't know who you are a little bit about yourself, where you come from, how you roll?
Eric Thomas, man. High school dropout. Mom got pregnant with me at 17. Didn't really start talking to my father until I was 30. The whole nine. Homeless, sleeping in abandoned buildings. And my guy and CJ, man, we built this company from, I don't know if we had 50 cent, no cents, I don't know.
Negative cents?
Negative cents.
Owed a couple people from around the way.
Right. Literally built this motivational brand, you know, from the bottom up. And so now, of course, we work with corporate people like, you know, Cavaliers with Dan Gilbert, sat down with Warren Buffett, you know, working in NBA, NFL, traveling the world, doing this thing, so.
How did it start? CJ, get CJ. Give CJ a little camera time.
Yeah. Nobody will give CJ.
Yeah, let's give CJ some camera time. It's true. Listen, I know how much everybody around me matters. Absolutely. And I think a lot of people don't. Look, and I are lucky because we were gifted with DNA that allows us to communicate, motivate, just we're a vessel. Yeah. But there's a lot of people that make things go.
So 11 years ago, I sat in the room and heard this guy speak.
Yeah.
And I watched like 17, 18, 19-year-old kids like
stand up.
Like silent, they couldn't even move, and you could tell how it was impacting them. I said, I don't know what this is. I don't know how we build this into a company. I don't know how we spread this across the globe, but I'm down to die trying with you. I believed in the message that much, and from that day forward, we were just like, all right, let's figure it out.
Let's get it.
And so how did you get to that? So it was him speaking.
Absolutely.
So how did you get there? What was that about?
Yeah, I got college, it was so funny. Like, we would go to these major cities, and these guys that I was with, like, they were like, you know, theology majors, and they would like speak at these different places, and I wasn't good enough. So I would speak at like the Fleet Markets, you know what I'm saying? I would speak.
How did you even begin to think about first of all, you said you didn't even start talking to your dad till you're 30. You look 30 now. How old are you?
I'm 45.
Looks great. So why did you start speaking at a flea market or the corner? Like, why did that even happen?
I think for me, because, you know, somebody had spoken to me when I was about 17 years old, and they literally saw this. Like, when I was 17, sleeping in abandoned buildings, not taking showers, eating out of trash cans, they were like, yo, you got something. And I was like, well, what is that? You know what I'm saying?
Was that the first time
was the first time. Yeah. Like, yo, it's an older man who was like, yo, you can do it. So he helped me to get my GED, sent me out to college.
And who was this man?
His name was P.C. Willis. He was a pastor at a local church that I kind of went to every now and then with one of my homeboys. And it was just unbelievable. He helped me get my GED, sent me 780 miles away from Detroit. And I just got in a new environment in college. And once I got there, I was just like, I was so grateful that I had to pay it forward. So I was like, yo, what this guy did for me, I've got to do into others. And that's what I've been doing, just speaking life into people who just don't believe that they can do it. You know, so many people think that, like, you have to have a mother or a father in your life. Like, you have to go to a certain school. You have to, and I don't believe that. I believe when you wake up and you're ready to, like, live, at that point, I can help you to get from where you are to where you want to be. And that's why I say, you know, some people think, you know, when you look at certain successful people, maybe their fathers passed something down or their mothers passed down. It's like, no, it doesn't make a difference if they pass it down or not. Everybody's got to wake up and grind. And if you're willing to work like they're willing to work, you can have whatever you want.
Agreed. So, like, one thing that is interesting to me sitting here, something literally popped in my mind, which is, I don't know if you've ever heard this, your crew's ever heard this. I so associate myself as a businessman, right? Like, I build businesses and I happen to be motivational. Yeah. I was sitting here and I was like, you know, I always say, your truth is what has to be done. I think a lot of people want to be motivational speakers, life absolutely. Coaches. Yeah. There's money in it. Yeah. It seems like, well, I don't know. I'm just going to tell you and like, wow, right? Yeah. And I'm sitting here and like, here's a guy who does the motivational thing. I don't really love associating that much with motivational thing. Yeah. I don't know why I feel good about it. And then you're telling, I don't know your story at all. I don't know anything. Yeah. I'm like very weird. Yeah. I just go with whatever I feel. And then, and I'm sitting here like, huh, truth again. He was motivated by a man. That became his gateway. Yeah. And he's scratching his own itch. Yeah. He's reverse engineering.
Absolutely. And for me, here's the deal. A lot of people say ET is a motivational speaker. Really, I'm not, Gary.
What are you?
I started as an educator.
Yeah.
I got a degree in education. I started with a GED program.
Yeah.
I was just great at the GED program.
Right.
And I think that's where people go wrong. People think that it is a profession that makes you great. It's not. I believe you have to be great. And you take whatever you're doing and you make that thing.
Do you get mad when, how do you process when somebody says you're a motivational speaker?
I get pissed because it's like, yo, like, don't minimize me. Like,
I totally
don't make me into that. Like, I taught a GED program. Like, you build businesses, I build people.
Yep.
I just happen to be able to talk about what I do. A lot of people can't talk about what they do. I just talk about what, but I build people. If you put me in a room with somebody that's about to get a divorce, I guarantee they won't get one. You put me in a room with somebody
or they might. Right? Because I assume, because this is what I do when I motivate or try to mold, I'm trying to reverse engineer the truth. Some people should get a divorce.
Oh yeah, I feel you. Now,
you know what I mean though?
Yeah. But I'm just hoping.
Sometimes people walk in and like, I don't want a divorce. I sit and listen. Right? But, or I assume you do this. Maybe I'm wrong, but no, I'm not, because you wouldn't be here if you were. You listen.
Yeah.
People walk in and they're like, I don't want this to happen. I listen for 20 minutes. I'm like, no, you do want that
Absolutely.
To happen. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, it's very interesting. All right. Andy, what are you doing here? This is not India. This is not the professor.
Okay.
Were you? No, I know. He's never asking the questions. Are you just excited? Like,
excited.
Why are you here?
India had some projects she had to work on.
Oh, India got fancy.
She got fancy.
All right. What's the first question?
Because I'm used to her when I watch it. I'm used to her. Yeah.
I was like,
he's not as pretty as she is.
No, he's really not.
A video cast.
Was your your password was crazy?
Yes. Yeah,
what is that? You go like.
I just go back and forth.
Respect. All right, let's see. Byron.
Hey Gary. Hey ET. It's Byron Lazine. I appreciate you guys taking the question. I'm about to go into the gym here. It's 5:45. Trying to get my hustle on.
5:45.
I sent a question into Gary last week, and I hope whoever's editing this will throw in my YouTube channel here, trying to get a little bit of exposure, but. You guys have been such a big inspiration to me, ET. I found you a number of years ago. The talk you did to that classroom inspired the crap out of me. I've watched it over 100 times. Gary, first time I saw you was a keynote to Remax. You ripped their faces off. And I'm going to be giving a keynote, actually, or rather an 18-minute talk at the Tom Ferry Summit next week. This is the Super Bowl of all real estate conferences. I've done 200-400-person talks, but this is in front of 5,000 people. What advice do you have for me stepping up into the big leagues? And guys, I'd also like to know, when your speaking career really launched, were you out pushing that? Or did you let all those paid speaking opportunities come to you? How do you grow a paid speaking business? Thanks guys, be well.
Eric, let's answer it. Go ahead, you go first.
Yeah, so first of all, I want to say this, you know, because you talked about that first speech. Again, Gary, I wasn't doing that for the world. It's an accident that video came out. Like, I had no idea that
somebody was recording it and put it on YouTube?
Actually, a guy recorded it for his thesis.
Yep.
He never used it for his thesis.
Okay.
So, the only reason he mic'd me up is because he
When was this?
Class. This was 10 years ago. Actually, the anniversary to the Guru story is this school year. So, that's when I did it, right?
And that was your breakout?
That was the breakout. Well, and when we say breakout, we mean to the world. I have two careers. The first one was I've been doing this.
100%.
Yeah, like, I've been doing this for 10 years.
People are like, oh, you broke out. I was like, I worked every day of my life.
Right, I finally broke out.
So if you call breaking out after 18 years, if you call breaking out like punting anything that was happy and fun and easy and just grinding my face off, I broke out.
Yeah. So for me, that speech was to about 40 or 50 kids from the inner city who were about to get kicked out of Michigan State. And I was going off. I was just going off because it's like they don't have three chances. Like their parents, you know, just got laid off of four gym in crisis. We're talking about when the country hit the recession. These kids' parents have lost their job. GM, Ford, Chrysler, all crashing. This is their chance to get a degree.
And they're bullshitting.
So I'm going off.
Of course.
Somebody happens to record it.
Especially because, you know, I'm gonna use that as my answer, which is when you tell your truth, It's not scary to talk to one. Yeah. It's not scary to talk to 50,000. You ask me right now to read your email, right now. Yeah. If you gave me a long email and said, read it, I'd be scared shitless. You know why? I'm bad at reading. Yeah. I don't like reading. Yeah. It's not what comes natural to me. I can go speak in front of this whole city, this whole thing. Give me 80 million people, I'm ready. Give me the mic, I'm going. I'm ready right now. You ask me to read in front of this inner circle, I'm like, let's go get a drink, guys. No, that's stupid, let's do business. Like, it's unbelievable. So to Byron, just go speak your truth. The biggest mistake people make, and you're by accent similar to me. I was a businessman just going to a conference. I don't know. The number one reason people fail is because they have to think.
Yeah.
And when you think, because you don't know, because you're trying to fake it. You know what's easy for us, and yours is more extreme than mine, but I have my version of it. When you're not at any plateau, when you've been there, nothing super scary. What, you're gonna laugh at me? When kids made me drink pee because I couldn't speak English? Right. Like things aren't scary. What is somebody gonna do to you? When you're eating shit out of the fucking corner? Who's gonna do what? Somebody's gonna laugh at you at a conference? Right. They didn't like the way you curse? Right. That's the silly, I think the biggest thing is to talk your truth, Byron. Don't try to act bigger than you are. Everybody does that. Yeah. Oh, now that I'm a big stage, let me make pretend or embellish that I sold a lot of apartments or people embellish or fake it. And then you're scared. You're scared somebody's gonna call you out on it. You're scared somebody's gonna come. You know what I'm pissed about? I had Tyler right now. I'm getting my report card right now sent to me. My report cards from high school. Because somebody in the comment section of Facebook said, Gary, you weren't that bad of a student from high school. Only because I think they liked me and they didn't want to believe I was such a bad student. Right. I'm like, oh, you think so? Let me go get them. So I just think it's truths.
I would say to him as well, give them something, man. Too many people spend so much time talking about their accomplishments and what they've done. Give them something. Give them a tool or two that they can literally take. I'm talking about as soon as, I listen to some of these guys, no disrespect, but it takes about 18 messages before you actually say something to me, right? So I'm saying, do me a favor, just give them one or two things that as soon as the conference is over, they can literally take with them and actually use.
I'm super mad you said that because you're more right than what I was saying. It's more important than your truth, even though this doesn't sound like it. I believe that 90% of talks in public today are press releases for that person, and they're doing propaganda for themselves, and then they just leave.
Absolutely,
Gary.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to guilt motherfuckers to loving me. Yeah. That I gave them so much that they're like, damn.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what I like about Kendrick Lamar?
What do you like about Kendrick Lamar?
We got a nice little cadence going here. I like that when I feel like if I was good enough to be a rapper, I would have the same mindset. What I think he does, and I don't know if this has been talked about, again, I don't read anything, so I don't even know if this is out there. I assume it is, because it's so obvious. He goes and goes on other people's albums, and he's trying to steal those fans. When I listen to how he does it, I'm like, I get that. I literally, Eric, I swear to God, I go to every conference, and I'm trying to make anybody that came there for somebody else question that person. I want them to be like, damn,
because they're laughing. Explain that though.
Explain. Real, okay. Explain. I go to every conference and I go, look, if this is a conference, there's this fancy person, there's Warren Buffett, there's Tony Robbins, there's Eric Thomas.
Absolutely.
I'm sure a lot of people can. Yeah. I'm not the only person, but I'm gonna go on stage and I'm gonna make every single person leave saying, I don't like Warren Buffett anymore.
Yeah.
I like Gary Vee.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go, and by the way, that's not by having bravado.
Yeah.
That's not cursing.
Yeah.
That's, I'm gonna provide so much stream of value.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So hard, so long, that they're gonna be tired when I'm done.
Yeah.
Bring value.
And that's why you know who Gary Vee is. For real, and you guys gotta hear that. Because a lot of you that I study, who study Gary Vee, this is why I laugh, Gary. There are people who look up to you who don't do what you do.
You mean everybody? You mean everybody? They're like, do you know how many people tweet hustle and work 6 hours a day? I know.
I'm serious.
I know.
I'm serious. Somebody I'm very close to today asked me about my schedule, and I told them the schedule. And then they asked me, well, why are you up so early?
Let's move to the next question before I get angry.
I get you. I get
By the way, real quick, I got angry. If you ever say to somebody else, why are you up so early? That is the quickest tell to you are not a winning player. If that has ever crossed your mind, you've lost. Go ahead.
IKE asks, as a rapper, what are the best marketing tips to implement? Should I treat music like an entrepreneur would his product?
I would just say exactly what, you know, Gary said before, just add value. You know, think about a specific group of people, because you can't reach everybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being real. I don't care how good you are at what you do. You pick your poison, you pick a group, and you just pour into that group so that every time they listen to you, like Gary said, like I'm gonna just be honest. Like I'm like Gary, I don't listen to anything, I don't read anything. But I got hooked on this Beyonce song, I was here. And I've been listening to that song this morning, I was listening to it. It's like, I can't put it down. And it's not because it's Beyonce. Like, no disrespect, but it's not because of what you think. But when I hear the song, I hear, I was here. So I'm waking up this morning like, when you hit the Gary V show, you gotta be present. Like, not just there, you gotta be present. Because you may only get to do this one more time. So I'm listening to her song, and I felt like she wrote it for E.T. So if you're gonna
write, we should find out. We should activate everybody. Let's find out if B wrote it for you. You think she did?
I believe she wrote it. I really did.
Listen, I think way too many people, I'll give you my advice. I think you need to rephrase, you haven't made it. I don't think this was J. Cole asking the question, right? So you haven't made it, so stop being fancy. I am stunned by the fanciness in the market of speakers, authors, entrepreneurs, athletes, and definitely rappers, because I got a ton of them. You're trying to be big time. You think acting like it is that. You know how you promote music? Make one person every day like your music. You know how you do that? By liking them first. By literally going to Twitter. I'll give you something real tangible. Twitter.com.
Somebody loves this.
I love it. Twitter.com/search. Twitter.com/search. Go search people. You've got your opinion of who you are as a rapper. Yep. Go search people talking about, you know, Future. You think that's your style? Jump in and say, yeah, I like that track too. Yes, I love that hook. When E.T. tweets that Beyonce spoke to me, jump in and be like, yeah, that part. Like, become part of the community. Everybody wants everybody to love them. Love the community first, then they'll love you back. Guilt them into loving you.
Oh, that's so, Look guys, that first video, for real, you'd be shocked at the millions of people. That one video has 38 million views. You'll be shocked that I did not do that on purpose. You'd be shocked that I just, what Gary V just said, I poured into that community for about 18 years, and then boom, all of a sudden one day, that seed blossomed into a tree. Like 18 years.
Doing the right thing is always the right answer.
So I'm also saying to whoever you are, don't do what Gary is saying and think that 6 months you're gonna see the results, or a year, just because he told you that and you did what he told you to do, that 6 months later, voila. No.
How do you think about patience?
I mean, it's life, it's everything.
I'm a big pusher of patience.
Yeah, I'm just saying, because you don't know the result. You can only work the process. You don't know when the pride is coming.
Do you know what I'm most fascinated about? Everybody there right now, how many people gave up a month before it was gonna happen? Like I'm worried that what happens when you die and you like go talk to God, God's like, yo, listen, I gotta show you something. You gave up on March 19th, 1994. It was gonna happen on April 7th, 1994. And you're like, what? Like, I'm fascinated by lack of patience. All right, let's go move on.
Jacob Brown asks, as a PhD, what percentage would you contribute of where you are today to your degree?
Absolutely zero. Zero. I didn't get the PhD for success. I got the PhD for the patience. I got the PhD for the process.
When did you get your PhD?
Last year, May.
Did you think you know what? This is a real good opportunity. On a real serious kick, I think what makes this show good is I'm super not scared. Talk me through the PhD. Did you feel that was a smart strategic thing to create a little more air cover so that you had more room to do your thing?
For me, Gary, that I was trying to, and when I first walked in, you talked about business.
Yep.
Right? And I told you I build people.
Yes.
But building people doesn't always pay well.
I understand.
Right? So I had to put myself in a different market
I understand.
Than what I originally wanted to be when I started, right? Yeah. But what happens when you're from Detroit, like I am, one of the most segregated cities in the United States of America, I did not have the code, the language, or the rules to get in the game that I wanted to play in.
That's right.
So for me, Michigan State gave me that opportunity
yes.
to go to class and hear that language, to get in an environment for 6 years and be a part of the rules. So you can't play the game if you don't know the game. So the degree to me was about, it doesn't make Detroit bad. It doesn't make my community bad. But there's some things I need to operate on this level.
It's interesting that you even went there. I'm so fascinated that you said that. I'm fascinated that in your mind it processed that this thing could be a counter move to making that Absolutely. Thing look bad. It's an actually massive insight that people grossly underestimate. It's a thing that I grew up with in a different way. You know, I came to this country because Jews were persecuted in the Soviet Union. Like, my parents and grandparents grew up in an environment where they were blamed for the World War. My grandparents, both my grandfathers went to jail for being Jewish. And I think that people don't understand that being a minority somewhere, Absolutely. Jewish in Europe, yeah. African American yeah. in America, yeah. there's a psyche that people understand, which is you hear us white guys here selling out, yeah. you know, Uncle Tom getting away from you. It's so much deeper than you think. And let me tell you where I'm going with it. I'm actually going a very left turn on this. Most of you are so molded by your parents, yeah. you can't yeah. even wrap your head around it. And there are certain things your parents put in you that you are scared to break against because you don't want to let them down, even though you might hate your parent or what have you. It's unbelievable to me that you went there, that the success of PhD had to be hedged in your mind, Absolutely. Through your words, yeah. that's not bad on Detroit. Uh-uh. That to me is such an insight that we need to have a conversation in general Absolutely. About people understanding that having something good happen doesn't trigger a negative event somewhere Absolutely. Else, and that is something we're all dealing yeah. with in yeah. our own versions.
Yeah. And so for me, it was like, E, if you can't, there's certain arenas you can't operate on if you don't know it. Like you can't play football if you don't. Like, here's the thing I hate. Okay, so what I do for a living, I hate, Gary, that a guy thinks he's gonna do what I've done for 20-something years. He's gonna watch my videos, he's just gonna do it for 5 months, 5 years, and boom, he's the next E.T.
Wait a minute, E.T., just because you mean you can't register 7-figure mastermind Instagram account and become that? Yeah.
I mean, it's real. So I'm saying to anybody
the realist. Out
there, I realize that, E.T., you have what you think is success, but you get that PhD, you're gonna understand. Like, it's like another language, Gary. It's like another language, like another world.
You like being a student?
I love it.
That, you know, that's
not reading, but I love being a student.
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't like the reading.
I think we're contradicting ourselves.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's interesting. Huh. I like that. Okay. What was the question?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
As a PhD, what percentage?
Got it.
Okay, zero.
Zero. Okay, good. Zero.
Yeah.
Video question. What up? It's your boy Zane coming from Sydney, Australia, and welcome to the show, ET. I believe this is a huge issue for a lot of people in life, and my question is, where does motivation stop and execution begin? I want to take this opportunity to thank you both for being huge influences in my life, and I can proudly say that I wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for you two.
That's very nice. Z-squared, I will tell you that the amount of people that come in and write notes all day, little notebooks of motivation, spend ungodly amounts of hours. The amount of hours that we've spent watching each other's stuff, I don't want to speak for you, my gut is zero. Zero full hours.
He said it.
It's just like I don't know, but here's what I can tell you. Some people need to be motivated. For me, I didn't. I got a chip on my shoulder, and that thing will drive me into the dam in the ground. I'm so motivated, it's coming out of my face, right? Like, so I don't need that. So I can't speak for everybody. Everybody's got different versions. But here's what I can tell you. There's a sign in here that is driving everybody crazy. It's been brought up like 4 times in the last week. It says, ideas are shit. This is, hangs in our office, and it's driving people crazy. And the reason I don't finish my statement in that sign is I want people to think, because the sign actually reads, if it was in its full entirety, ideas are shit until you execute them. Yeah. Where does motivation stop and start? Everybody's got a different answer, but here's what I can tell you. It's really easy to be motivated. Either you've got it, or you can watch it. It's really hard to execute. It is the variable that separates people. People are always gonna tell me every day. Every day I roll up on people, they're like, yo, I'm gonna buy the Seahawks and you're gonna buy the Jets. And I'm like, great, can't wait to see you. People are always telling me that they're gonna do this and that and this and that. And you know what I do? I don't know if you do this. I ask lots of them to email me in 60 days, right, in 90 days, yeah, in a year. Yeah. And you know how many do? Goose egg. People talk shit. And I don't know where it stops or starts, but I know that most of you, 99% of you, aren't gonna do anything about it, and that sucks.
I'm with Gary, inhale, exhale. It's like asking me which one is which. I don't know which one is which. You inhale, you exhale. I don't know which one is first, which one is second. But if you're not executing, you're not motivational. Like, I don't know what that other stuff is you're doing. But real motivation, I don't know which one comes first, but it makes you do something. Like, if you're not doing anything, you're not really motivated.
Do you think it's a little bit Star Wars-like? I just went somewhere weird. I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know, the truth is, don't you think motivation comes a little bit from a little bit of darkness? Like this is my point. You know, this is fun to do this in this room, and I've been talking to a bunch of female entrepreneurs the other day, and some leaders in my company. There's a lot of mixed genders in here. I'm so scared to go here because I understand where I'm going. I don't know. I think being a minority, being an underdog is an advantage. I can't not believe that. I genuinely believe. I'm making this for my son, Xander. I think you're soft. I think you're watching this right now, 6 years from now. I think you're gonna text me in a few minutes and be like, yo, I'm gonna kill you, which I hope, because I hope you have that in you. But the truth is, I just believe that that Andy's in a disadvantage. Yeah. I just genuinely believe that.
I believe so.
I just, I don't know how else to say it. Now, that's me, by the way, that's me stereotyping. Yeah. If Andy's lucky to be motivated, something bad happened. I don't know his dynamic with his brother, but like, I think being a younger brother is a great one, right? Show me a kid who walks in here and says, I'm like, what's your story? Well, I grew up super rich and white and it's awesome. I'm like, keep going. They're like, well, my older brother was a star football player and I wasn't. I'm like, okay, now, like I start, right? I'm like, show me something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think a lot of you are not motivated because you're lucky.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you're lucky in different ways. You haven't dealt with adversity that much. And by the way, it's not a black, white thing, girl, boy thing.
Absolutely.
It's you just had great parents, you had a good upbringing. Yeah. Like, life just didn't give you that much adversity. And so, I don't know, I wanna slice throats.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, like my stuff is super evil. Like, I'm being really honest with you guys today. I go to the conference, everybody's in the green room, friends. I'm like, I'm gonna slice your throat.
Yeah, no,
like, you're gonna go up there and people are gonna clap. Yeah. I'm gonna go up there and people are gonna hate you after. I'm gonna be like, why did I even clap for the guy before me? That's what's going through my mind.
No question.
It's just not a nice thing.
Yeah. Look,
do you know why people hate that when I have guests on? It just happened right now. I interrupt.
Oh, you're supposed to, Gary.
I can't help it.
Yeah, you're ready to go. I was just gonna say though, for me, everybody's like, man, wait, your son, you're so engaged with your daughter. It's because my father wasn't there. I'm not a good father. I just didn't have my father. So every day I wake up, that drives me. I'm not gonna be him. Every time I get on the mic, it's like my people didn't take it. All of us talk, nobody took it back. So I'm taking it back. So I'm with you, it's the dark side. It's the, I ate out of trash can. I told the kids yesterday with the NBA, I said, look, everybody can get, but can you keep? So for me, I say, I'm not into money. I just don't wanna go back to being homeless. I don't wanna eat out of trash cans again. I don't wanna sleep in abandoned buildings. So it's the darkness in me that gets me up and drives me.
I genuinely believe the worst thing in life is to be somewhere, grow, and then go backwards.
Go back.
I'm weird because I'm also weirdly romantic to it. Like that Rocky where he loses everything and he's back, there's a part of me that's always like, ooh, if I lose everything, but then I'll rise back, and then I'll realize who my real friends were. Andy will not want to be my friend anymore. Good, when I rise back up, I'll be like, fuck you.
Andy,
like, you know, like,
Andy,
I know. You think so?
I think so.
All right, let's go to the next
Andy,
one.
Andy, you owe me.
Aaron Perez asks, en route to self-awareness, do you believe we find ourselves or create ourselves?
Well, that's a deep question. How self-aware do you think you are, if I asked you that?
Very.
Me too.
Very.
Who do you think is more self-aware, me or you?
Me.
You know what I feel. You know what I feel.
I think you think it's you.
Of course. I feel like I genuinely think I'm the most self-aware person on earth.
Right. I don't know, Gary. I'm waking up
But do you feel
just constantly.
I'm texting you at 2:53 tomorrow morning, and I haven't even gotten to sleep yet. So.
Well, I did go to sleep.
So what? That's a really nice question. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I believe that, you know, in our book, we just came out with Average Skill, Phenomenal Will.
Is that your first book?
Third book.
How are you in book world? You good at it?
Yeah, we're good at
we're
it.
We're very good.
Very good at
well,
it.
Well, how good?
Underground.
Yeah.
What do you mean underground? There's like
still
a whole
garage.
Real, self-published from the garage. Like what? Like open up the trunk and selling it from the back?
Absolutely.
Love it. Yeah, I know, I'm kidding. Yeah,
so, but our first-
Have you ever considered going main publishing?
We have, and we didn't like the numbers. Yeah. I'll be honest, when we started out, we had such a big following that wanted to support us like off the bat, like
right.
We'll buy it as soon as it comes out at $25.99.
Yeah.
That, you know, we went talking.
You're like, why go share with other people?
Why go share?
Yeah, right, they were like, okay, $4 a book. We were like, yeah, no, we're good. We're going to keep it
over
here. Yeah,
totally understand. Yeah.
So for us, in our third book, Average Skill, Phenomenal Will, Underdog, we believe that you don't have to have a phenomenal skill, but if you have a phenomenal will, you're not gonna quit, you're not gonna stop, you'll be successful. The very first chapter, this is why I think I'm more serious about it. The very first chapter is self-awareness. Very first chapter.
Really? Because you know what's funny about my book?
Yeah.
Talk about who's more serious? Yeah. I put self-awareness in my motherfucking title. I put in my title. You got chapters, I got titles. You got chapters, I got titles.
Yeah, you got it on the cover. Yeah, he's got it on the cover.
You know, I think that's a really interesting question. I think that's one that we'll never really fully figure out. I'm always wondering, was this my destiny or did I mentally create it? I think it's a very fine line. I definitely think there's elements of both.
Absolutely.
And I'm a big believer in momentum. Yeah. I'm sure as you started feeling it,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it, you know, yeah. Momentum is real. You know what? I do think a lot of things, like I think about sports, and you see that athlete who matured a little bit late, right? And had a big second year. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. Like, you know what's funny? I started a sports agency called Vayner Sports. Wow. We just started. We're recruiting kids. Okay. And I'm talking to these kids. I'm like, when did you think that you could be a pro, right? They're like juniors right now, seniors about to come out. And a lot of them are like, after this one game, my sophomore year.
Wow.
Like multiple people said it.
After one game.
Or after one big game, right? Or when my homie went to the league and I was dogging him in practice. I'm like, wait a minute. Jerome's going to the league? Right. Like, you know, it's super... Yeah, and so, and then, but what's interesting, what I'm trying to make the connection is, when they said that, when they made the decision that they could go into the league, everything changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
They worked out more,
yeah.
They played better,
yeah.
They ate better,
yeah.
They went down to one girlfriend instead of seven.
Yeah.
My one man, I was like, I was dying when he said that. You know, but it's funny, it was the mental decision that created
absolutely.
Their actions. I got my health together 2 years ago. It was a mental game. Then I got there. Now I'm there.
Yeah.
It's very mental.
It
I don't think we talk about the brain enough in our society. And I think that's going to be a big subject that we'll discover. I think people look back at some of the things we talk about and others 100 years from now and be like, wow, they were early on to understanding how much the brain could do versus all the other intangibles.
Absolutely.
All right, ET, you get to ask the question of the day. Any question you want.
Who do I ask?
The Vayner Nation and all your fans. You get to ask a question and in the YouTube comments and Facebook comments, people will answer it. What's the one, you know, you're gonna get 1,000 answers. You've got a good sense of where our crossovers are. What question do you want to ask?
I can ask you anything.
Not me, them.
Oh shoot, I want to ask Gary.
You can go ahead, ask me and then think about, go ahead. You guys answer my question as well, go ahead.
So the one crossover.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when you look at basketball,
yeah.
You got a guy that's just dribbling,
yep.
dribbling, and then one day, he crosses over,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He feels like, this is my,
yes.
this is my. What was your crossover for you? What was that one, like you knew?
My first baseball card show. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you asked this. This is not something we've ever really expanded on. I've maybe told it once. I'm curious if you guys even know it. My first baseball card show was in eighth grade and the Phillipsburg Mall had a baseball card show. And I'm like, we're gonna do it. I'm gonna do my baseball card show. And I went on Friday after school. It was a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday show, but I was still in school, so I couldn't do the Friday, but I wanted to get a table for Saturday and Sunday, and I go Friday to the promoter, and this big, fat guy comes out, like 400-pound guy, right? Looked like Avalanche from WWF, like big guy, like, you know, tugboat, like big guy, and I go, are you the promoter? He goes, yeah. I go, can me and my friends get a table for the show? He goes, the show started. I'm like, no, for Saturday and Sunday. You know, it's like real combative. I'm like, oh, look. I'm like 4'7", like 84 pounds, you know, and I'm like, no, we want a table. And on the drive there, this is the punchline. On the drive there, we made a pact, like all hands in, if it's $100 or less, we'll do it. And if it's more, we're not doing it. Super packed, Blood Brothers, like, this is what we're gonna do. We get there, this man goes, sure, it's $300. Mm-hmm. And then before he said dollars, I said, we'll take it. So we shake hands, we walk out of the mall, and they're just looking at me like, and I was like, it $300 was like, you know, like I was like, I'm like, we'll do it. I was nervous, this and that. First, we get in Saturday morning, 7 a.m., donuts, the mall's not open yet, we're setting up, we're excited. I'm like, I'm not fault. I can speak in front of 8 million people, I'm not gonna feel that energy like I felt. There was my first, you know? And I walked that whole mall, I walked it, I looked at everybody's tables, I memorized everybody's prices on every card. I came back to my table and I lowered every one of my prices a dollar cheaper than the lowest price across the whole show on every single card. And then I hustled, and by midday, by like 12, 1 o'clock, we were there for 4 hours, the mall was open, we'd already made all our money back and more. The night before, my dad, who never talked to me ever, he just worked. Me and my dad had no relationship. My dad came up to me, I told my mom I was nervous and like, holy shit. My dad came up to me, and I love my pops for this. He just said, it's gonna be a great learning experience. I didn't understand. I was like, what does that mean? It's stupid, you know. Anyway, that was it. That night I went to sleep, and I was in eighth grade, and I'd already been punting school since fourth or fifth grade, but that night I went to sleep and I said, I'm gonna be great. That was it. And I've never wavered since. So that's me. What's your story? What's your crossover moment? You keep asking questions. We'll keep answering them.